see you, I'm not normally in town, glad I'm here today. I want to share with you some scripture from Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And I do not promise to let you out before it rains. You may get wet based upon it is raining. If some of you are small enough to fit in between the raindrops, let me know how you did. When I came prepared, I bought my umbrella. I charged $5 and loaned it out for you. Okay? I tried my best to preach to you the message I preached last Sunday in Tappahannock. It wouldn't let me, so I got frustrated when in the house yesterday afternoon. I was trying to rewrite it so you, and so it made sense to the sound people, and I couldn't get anything to go, and so I just went in the house, picked up a devotional book with Max Lucado, and read the first line where I was supposed to pick up, and God gave me a thought, so here it goes for you. I want to talk about God's grace. We actually live in the marvelous times. Sin has always been rampant. Sin will always be rampant. Christians will always be outnumbered. And by God's grace, we can stand for the Lord, share the Word of God, and live our lives in such a way that it will be an example for others to live. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 13. Says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. When I was in Bible college back in the Stone Age, and going from class to class, I'd walk outside and go to sidewalk. I had been reminded many times that the rapture was near, and I just sort of looked towards the east and wondered if it was going to take place while I was walking outside. I don't know how you feel, but I don't know how. I know my head's hard enough to go through that ceiling if the rapture was to take place now. But anyway, we're going to go up one day. But the thing. The thought that stirred me from this devotional book was talking about windshields. That's a strange thing to think about. All of you came today in some sort of vehicle, and hopefully you look through the windshield rather than through the rear view mirror. If you spend a lot of time looking at the rear view mirror, you may not have made it here. But the idea is that we need to look forward and where we're going and what we're doing for the Lord. The windshields of life are there are larger than the rearview mirror of your past. So many Christians, when they get some age on them, start looking back all the time. I want to challenge you to quit looking back and start looking forward. I think God has something for every one of us to do, regardless of our age. And it can be a small thing, it can be a big thing. I was at the Dollar Tree, whatever it is up here, and went in there to buy a highlighter. So I put it in my office, and I went and paid for it, went on out, and ran to the post office, and the Lord just gave me this thought. You did not appoint the cashier to church. And that thing bugged me all day long. So you know what I did the next day? I got up, I went back to that store, I prayed, Lord, give me a chance to talk to this lady and invite her to church. And when I walked in there, she was running her mouth with somebody else, and I, so Well, I went and picked up something, I forget what it was. And I went back, by the time I got back, she was there on fire, so I just invited her to church. She was thanking me for inviting her to church. She says, now where is it? I said, right down the road here. And just, I went to church at 11 o'clock. Well, what I'm trying to get you to see is that God's grace is sufficient, and God's going to take that one boy in by somewhere, put that seed of thorn in her life, and keep that mulling over in her life so that she will eventually come to church, maybe here. I don't know. But I want you to keep looking forward to how God can use you. Don't look backward, look at the past. Forgetting those things which are behind, the scripture says, we press towards the mark. We keep going forward for the Lord. Your primary focus should be in front of you, not behind you. What does God want you to do? I don't care your age. I don't care, really, your health doesn't make any difference. Wherever God has for you, you can share the word of God somehow, some way, if you just open your mouth. I'm reminded of a preacher friend of mine. Should I say the law is a friend of mine? He's with the Lord now. But he was known among preachers for his certain stand, his theological stand, which they didn't agree with. And anyway, his son got in bad shape financially, and I was pastoring another church near here, and the Lord laid on my heart to raise an offering for him. And, we raised a certain amount of money, and I called him up. I said, Lord laid on my heart to give you a certain amount of money. How can I give it to you? He says, can you meet me in the anchor place in Williamsburg, which was about halfway from where he lived to where I lived. So I met him there, and I gave him the amount of money. He says, we needed this exact amount of money to take care of whatever the need was. But what I'm trying to get you to see is that if you will listen, God will speak to your heart. So your focus should be always forward, ready to listen to what God will have you to do. When you live in the past, you can't go forward. If you're always looking backwards, you don't know where you're going to go. You may trip over something in life. And that's true in your spiritual life. You can't always be looking backwards. You can use examples from your past to help you in the future, help somebody else, but you need to be looking forward for God. The thing that I want us to see, there's a couple things I want us to see today. I've got six of them, so I should get you out of here about sometime. First thing is salvation erases the penalty of past sins. Salvation erases the penalty of past sins. So many people, so many Christians get hung up concerning their past sins. Whatever you did, it just haunts you. And you say, some people even say, God can't forgive me of that. God can forgive anything. All you have to do is be willing to ask with the repentant heart. God's willing to forgive you. One of the marvelous things about God, when he forgives, he forgets and he erases that. It's out of his memory. It's done away with. It's gone. But so many of us let those past things eat us and hold us back. If God forgave you of them, then you need to forgive yourself of them and keep on going. You can apologize. You can sometimes correct whatever it was that you did. But God can take care of you. God has erased your penalty of that sin when you ask forgiveness. Romans chapter 3 and verse number 24 puts it that being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The grace of God extended to you is through Christ Jesus. When Jesus gave you eternal life, he erased that penalty of that sin. It's gone. It's out of the mind of God, and it should be out of our minds. But getting there sometimes is difficult for you and I. Chapter 5, verse number of 15 puts it this way. The free gift is not like the offense. For if one man's sin, if one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift of the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, abounded in many. The free gift of grace, just to live one, the life that God can do, it's going to be a water day, I can tell. My throat is not working just right. But salvation erases the penalty of all your past sins. If I could get that embedded in your mind so that you will never forget, your life will be much better. The second thing I want you to see is that salvation is by grace. It's never earned. You can't do anything to earn your salvation. It's by the grace of God. God does it, takes care of all that for you. And Titus chapter 3, verse number 5, it says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of the regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Not by works of righteousness. You cannot earn your salvation. It can't be done. It's by grace and nothing else. It's by, just think, Jesus came, left heaven, left the presence of his Father, left the throne room of God, left streets that are paved with gold, left orchards that bear a different fruit every month, and came here. Came from perfection to this earth. He was willing to live as an example. He was willing to train people. He was willing to feed thousands. He was willing to heal lepers. He was willing to raise the dead. For examples, for us to believe that he really was and that he really did everything. And he can still do those things. And God wants us to understand that our salvation is not earned. It's by grace. I think of one of the lepers that just sat outside the city gate, been there a long time. Finally, Lord healed. How many years? Sometimes we have to wait for years for God to intervene and answer some of our prayers. And that's okay. Most of the time, at least in his eyes, not always in our eyes, because we're impatient people. I don't know if you're impatient. I am. I always want it yesterday. I don't want it tomorrow. I want it today. That's just the way I am. I'm made up that way. Always. I guess the selfishness in me. I want my way now. But it's not always that way with God. God sometimes has us to wait for a reason. That's to work out the situation so that everything can line up just right. John chapter 4, verse number 10, says that Jesus answered and said to her, that's the woman at the well, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, he would have given you living water. Sometimes we just need to realize who we're talking to. Sometimes our prayers become so mechanical. Every night I pray with my wife most of the time. Sometimes she's busy doing something and she's doing this big old, I don't know what you call it. It's a baby blanket, okay? She's knitting it. She's a row about 55 or something like that. She's got like 250 more to go. She has one dad who does three rows, two and a half rows every day. She'll have it finished in time. If the baby's on his due date, you never know about those babies. They always have, you know, it's a strange thing. A baby can have a mind of its own, even before it gets comes out of the womb. Guess what? We always still have a mind of our own. We want it our way, and that's just the way that it is. Then, the third thing I want us to see is that Service is an expression of our love, not an obligation. Maybe that makes sense just right. Let me give you a chance to explain. God saves you by grace. God wants you to serve Him by your own decision, not because you feel obligated. But yet, in a sense, we should be obligated because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ for us. But He wants us to voluntarily serve Him, look for ways to serve Him, when God gets the opportunity to open the door to serve Him. But He doesn't hold a gun to your head and say, now do this or I'm going to shoot. God wants to use you because you want to be used. And if we can understand that, the question comes down, do we want to be used? Are we willing to change our priorities sometimes and let God just work in us and through us? It is interesting that when God lays something on your heart, if you just stop whatever else you're doing and go take care of what He laid on your heart, how much better you will feel inside, and then the reassurance that God used you and spoke to you and wanted to, and just used little old you. I mean, when you look at it, and I know we don't think like this, but we need, sometimes we need to think of it, you're nothing but a handful of dirt in God's eyes. I mean, He formed you from dirt. Now think about that. Now, I'm a visual person. I think, well, He must have used some Carolina yellow clay to form certain parts of my body. And He must have used some dirt over here to form something else. And He must have used some hard, this clay down here in the Enon area, I forget what they call it, sandy loam or whatever. Something hard. There's a grayish clay about, I don't know, a foot down below the dirt that water just won't penetrate. And I liken that clay to some of our heads. Sometimes our heads are so hard, we won't let anything penetrate it. I mean, if someone tells us to jump, we say, no way. They tell us to go left, we say, I'm going to go right. I mean, that's just the way we are sometimes. We're a little bit stubborn. Let's be honest with ourselves. We're that way. But service is an expression of our love towards God. Matthew chapter 10, and verse number 8 says, He was sick, cleansed the lepers, raised the dead, cast out demons. He said, unless I've got anything to do with it. Freely you have received. Freely you. That's the thought that I want us to see. So, God's given you so much, that He just freely gives some of your time to Him. I thank every one of you for being here in the house of God. That speaks loudly about you. That you take the time to worship God on the Lord's Day. That says something unique about you, that you're willing to put aside all the cares of this world and just come and worship the Lord and let God speak to you. God wants to use you and desires to use you, and He will use you. Romans chapter 8, verse number 35 puts it this way. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? I'm going to stop right there. He goes on and talks about tribulation and talks about distress and persecutions. But nothing can separate you from the love of God. If God loves you, and He does, then He can use you regardless of the situation that you're in. God, service is an expression of love, not an obligation. Then the fourth thing I want us to see is that God's grace is our bridge over the valleys of life. I don't care where you are in life, there's always a valley ahead of you. Somehow, some way, there's something that's going to be troubling to you along the way. But God is our bridge. He says that my grace is sufficient for thee. Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 5, where He's writing to the church at Sardis, He says, He who overcomes shall be clothed with white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. There's one good thing about, lots of good things about Christ, but He'll never forget you. He's willing to say, He's my child. I don't know how you are as far Maybe you're like some of your children. If you've had enough children, or any child, really, you found sometimes they're sneaky. You found sometimes they're obedient. You found sometimes they are a little bit of everything, to be honest. They have a way of trying to get their way. They always, most every child always wants a little bit more than what they have. I know I always wanted something more than what I had. And, you know, my family was providing, they kept me clothes, they kept me food, I had health, but I lived in a relatively poor neighborhood in my high school years. And there was probably about, I don't know, 200 of us in that general area, but the rest of them were from upper middle class and affluent areas. And I was somewhat jealous of the more affluent people. But God has always taken care of me. Like I said, I've always had food. I never went hungry. You know, I didn't have what everybody else had, but along life's journey, I learned to appreciate that what I did have. I could have been born in another country where food wasn't there. God has a way of just taking care of us. God's grace always builds a bridge over the valleys of life. Then God's grace God has great the grace is God's work in and for you. God has a way of just working for you, taking care of you. In Philippians chapter 3, the verses that we read earlier, let's see if you can put it up on the screen. Philippians chapter 3. Brother, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. I try to forget about the past, try to forget about the failures of the past, try to forget about the sins of the past, the mistakes of the past. Because if I dwell on those things, I don't look forward to the opportunities and listen to the voice of God as He speaks from the doors of opportunities that lie before me. God's not finished with us. He's not finished with you as long as you have lungs to breathe. And God can use you. God wants to use you. God desires to use you. Are you willing to be used? God's grace can work in you and for you. It is a great thing after you've been used of God to reflect how God arranged the events for that to happen. I don't know how you feel about it, but sometimes my stomach shakes when I realize how God just used me to do whatever. Last week I spoke a message to this church in Tappahannock, and it was one of those messages that, from the preacher's standpoint, was just wow. You know, didn't really do whatever I thought it should do. But after the service, I had more people come up to me to thank me for that message. And any other time I've been to that church, and I've probably been there maybe 10 or 15 times in the last 6 or 7 months. God has a way of taking what seems insignificant and making it significant to the hearts of individuals if you're just willing to be what you need to be for Him. To speak up, to do something, or to help somebody, just to open doors for people. I've shared this 1,000 times. I always find it fascinating to open doors for people and see how they respond. Typically, if they're older, they say thank you. Typically, if they're younger, they just keep on going. I just find that fascinating. It may seem stupid and petty to you, but I just find it fascinating. Human nature is what it is. It's after, I think we've had some tough times in life that we've become more appreciative. And but God has a way of just taking care of us. Then the last thing I want to share with you, forgetting the past is hard, but it's beneficial. Forgetting the past is hard, but it's beneficial. The next verse says, I press towards the mark with God's high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Keep looking forward. Trusting God to use you. Letting God's grace be new to you every morning that you wake up. I don't know what you do when you first wake up. You may rub your eyes, you may hear the alarm and jump out of bed and trip over your bedroom slippers or whatever it is, but it's a new day. Maybe you take time just to say, thank you, Lord, for another day. Maybe you take time to just before you lay down, just before you say goodnight, thank you, Lord, for another day. God always has something for you to do if you're willing to do it. Every day is a new opportunity to serve God. Whether it's insignificant, whether it's big time, whether it's just whatever it may be, take time to let God work in you and through you. Let God's grace be abundant in your life as you share your life. Don't assume your life just for you. Share your life. Make an eternal impact on others. Shall we pray? Father, thank you for your love and your grace. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the grace of God. And I pray, Lord, that you bless these people, that you use them, that you cause them in their mouths. Share something good that you've done for them. Share the word of God. Share something about this church. Lord, just share how you've abundantly used them and protected them and provided for them, taking care of them, or just watch you guide them, direct them, use them. We ask all these things.